Nemoto presents filmmaking giants. Satyajit Ray, the humanist visionary. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 15 minutes. Satyajit Ray. Hello and welcome back to Filmmaking Giants Who Changed How We See the World. Today the monsoon arrives. A wind lifts the tall kash flowers in a Bengal field and two children run because they heard a sound from far away. Iron on iron, a train cutting air into pieces. And the world that seemed closed is suddenly discovered to be porous. A camera follows without hurry, breath and grass in one rhythm. The horizon admits the future like a polite guest. This is not spectacle. It is an introduction, to looking, to patience, to a cinema that keeps its promises to ordinary life. Our guide is Satyajit Ray, who gave us a way to see the everyday without condescension and to see the poor without romance, a director who shaped light until it behaved like kindness, who let silence be information, who taught the craft that understatement can be a thunderclap when you do not try to manufacture weather. He was born in Calcutta in 1921 into a house where drawing and rhyme were a kind of bread. His grandfather Upendrakishore and father Sukumar were printers, illustrators, nonsense poets. The house had blocks and inks and the serious play that trains a hand. He studied at Santiniketan with Nandalal Bose and Benod Bihari Mukherjee, learned that line and color are decisions, not decorations, and that nature is not a background but a tutor. He returned to the city to work in advertising and book design, drew covers that trusted children's eyes, founded a film society with friends because secondhand prints from abroad were a school when schools were scarce, met Jean Renoir scouting for the river and watched a director treat a river as a narrative and not a postcard. He went to London, sat in small theaters, and watched De Sica's Bicycle Thieves. Somewhere between the child's hand taking a loaf and the father's face caught between pride and hunger, he decided to make Pather Panchali. You can feel those ingredients in his films. The visual discipline of Santiniketan, the persuasion of design, the austerity of neorealism, the courtesy of Renoir. He had no money to make Pather Panchali. He had a script that he kept adjusting. He had a cinematographer, Subrata Mitra, who had never shot a film and had an eye that could see light's character. He had Ravi Shankar, a sitar that could sing with trains. He had non-professional actors who knew poverty without needing to imitate it. They shot over weekends and pauses and monsoons. They borrowed, they pawned, they endured skeptical advice that the film would never appeal beyond a province. When the government of West Bengal stepped in with completion funds, the film acquired a passport. Across festivals it did something no Indian export had yet done. It convinced strangers that modest lives carry universals more trustworthy than costume. Prize names do not explain what happened. What happened is that a cinema learned to walk at human speed. Ray's technique is simplicity achieved by work. He and Mitra visualized in planes that correspond to how rooms breathe. Foreground for hands, midground for faces, background for the world that refuses to go away. Mitra pioneered bounce lighting, reflecting harsh light off white surfaces so that shadows would carry gradation and skin would resemble itself. And the technique freed low-budget interiors from the glare of naked bulbs. The camera moves when the people do. It is not a machine that demands choreography but a witness that keeps up. The edits are merciful. They do not cut when they can glide, and they do not glide when a cut would spare us confusion. Ray's own training as a graphic artist shows in match cuts and compositions that balance weight without becoming symmetrical for its own sake. He reserves close UPS like OZU does, for moments when the image must become a sentence. The Apu trilogy tells a biography by letting time be the author. In Pather Panchali, Apu is a child learning that sweetness and loss are twins. Durga, the sister who steals guavas and defends him like a soldier. Sarbajaya, the mother whose face is an account book of injuries and jokes. Harihar, the father whose optimism keeps losing receipts. Indur Thakran, the old aunt who becomes a nation of one and dies with a dignity that makes dirt a pillow. Ray shoots leaves and water as if they were eyebrows and breath. He lets domestic routines, threading a needle, writing accounts, boiling milk, teach the rhythms of hope. The train arrives as both promise and interruption. When Durga dies after rain brings fever, the film does not indulge. It lets a sari move in wind, it lets a mother's shoulder learn a new weight. The final move to the city is a bandhan cut with a smile. The world grows. Aparajito moves the family to Benares, where the steps to the river give routine the drama of devotion. The mother works, The boy studies, the father dies, the boy's ambition travels ahead of his mother's capacity to let him go, the mother dies, the boy learns what grief does to a busy street. The cutting here becomes more elliptical. Ray trusts that a season can be carried by a piece of music, that a room can be described by sound, that regret lives in transitions. He begins to show his gift for the decision that happens in a face without words. Apu, given an exam result that opens a door, looks first somewhere you cannot follow. The film invites you to remember the last time your mind went where your company could not. Apur Sansar brings him love out of accident. Aparna, a bride who was meant for another, a marriage that begins as rescue and becomes companionship with a humor so soft you might miss it. Then death arrives with the savagery of one sentence. He becomes a man learning how rage breaks a person and how walking can rebuild one. He abandons his child. He returns. He becomes capable of a father's apology. Ray gives you the reunion without sugar, on a road whose dust deserves credit. The trilogy ends without trumpets. It closes with a family reduced and restored to human scale, which is to say to meaning. Ray then refuses to become a saint of poverty. He makes Jalsaghar, where a zamindar keeps music alive in a music room that has become a mausoleum, a chandelier gathering moths while a world changes outside. He makes Devi, where a father-in-law decides a young woman is goddess and piety becomes cruelty. Ray holds both the tremor of faith and the murmur of reason without insulting either. He makes Churulta, perhaps his most perfect film, based on Tagore, a house open to breezes and boredom, a woman with opera glasses looking out at a public life she has been denied, a cousin who brings her language like a flame. The swing sequence, Charu on a garden swing, camera sharing her weight, music teaching the eye how desire feels when it does not yet know itself, is filmmaking so exact it becomes invisible. He keeps listening forward. Mahanagar watches a housewife enter the labor market and outgrow her husband's fear. The city is not villain but test. The film respects buses and lunch hours, a time clock, a husband learning to apologize. Nayak puts a film star on a train with a journalist who wants to unmask him and ends up learning how masks hold faces together. The dream sequence melts his fame into coins that he cannot spend. Aranir Din Ratri sends urban men into a forest to play at being simpler and shows how quickly play invites cruelty and erotic confusion. The memory game scene, names, cities, professional banter, becomes an X-ray of class. Then the Calcutta trilogy, Pratidwandi, Seema Bhatta, Jana Aranya. A young man whose ideals and opportunities have fallen out of sync, an executive of a fan company learning how adroitly a decent person can bend, a clerk discovering the moral math of survival. Race style tightens. Stillness alternates with sudden documentary bursts. The negative image of a dream, the quick zoom to a face inside a crowd, the hard cut to a factory siren. He is willing now to allow technique to raise its hand when argument needs an underlining. He does not become didactic. He becomes stern. His sound design is a second camera. He allows fans to chatter, markets to insist, reigns to own a scene. He knows when to drop a score and let footsteps do the scolding. He composed many scores himself in later films. Earlier he collaborated with Ravi Shankar and later with Ali Akbar Khan. The music is never syrup. It is a second speaker who says what nobody else can. Listen to Pather Panchali. The flute becomes the distance that the train is about to erase. Listen to Churulta. A waltz that knows exactly why it is not a march. Children's films become part of his serious work because he refuses to treat children as decoration. Gupi Gaina Bhagabine is joyous and political, a fable about musicians whose songs can stop war. Its sequel Hiruk Roger Desh sings tyranny to sleep and then blows it up with rhymes children can memorize. The lesson endures because the melody does. Sonar Kela sends a boy with a memory of a previous life on a desert chase that is really an education in skepticism. He knows that delight is not the opposite of instruction. He leaves Bengal to make Shatranj Ko Khilari in Hindi, a history where the British annex Awadh while two noblemen play chess. He refuses to mock the men. He refuses to exonerate the empire. He returns to Tagore with Ger Bear, where nationalism and gender meet and betray. He makes Ashani Sanket, set during the Bengal famine of 1943, and uses color without prettiness. The orange of hunger, the fields green like an insult. Late, when a stroke forces him to sit, he makes three films that look like bequests. Ganeshatru, An Enemy of the People Story, Shaka Proshaka, Branches and Roots, A Family Counting Honesty, Agantuk, A Visitor Whose Questions Are a Gift. He accepted a lifetime Oscar with oxygen near and words left. He did not make his infirmity a drama. He had already trained us to notice what matters. What changed in the craft because Ray worked? First, the reputation of quiet. Before him, quiet often meant poverty of imagination or lack of resources. After him, quiet could be an achievement, a signature that meant the director trusted the audience. He demonstrated that you can build tension around a job interview, a train timetable, a rumor in a courtyard, a game of naming cities, all because you have built people sturdy enough to carry the weight of attention. Second, the practice of listening to rooms. His frames are not only visual arrangements, they are acoustic designs. When the fan slows, the scene tilts. When a street vendor calls, memory arrives. Third, the ethics of looking. He taught a generation, including those who never saw his films, to avoid turning the poor into angels or exhibits. His people are neither. They are people. The kit he hands you is practical. Treat faces with the same respect you treat landscapes. Do not confuse tears with truth. Hold the shot long enough for tears to dry into something you can use. When you cannot afford cranes, afford judgment. Decide exactly how long a street needs to be for a character to cross a threshold honestly. Use music as a friend who can say the one thing nobody else can say. Never allow it to cover rudeness in your storytelling. If you are tempted to add plot, add attention instead. Let a walk to fetch water be a scene. Let an apology be 20 seconds longer than your dignity prefers. Let weather arrive without permission. He was not sentimental. He was patient. He could be severe, as in Pratidwandi, where a young man's refusal to lie ruins him and improves him at the same time, as in Devi, where he refuses to let modernity get away with smugness and refuses to let faith get away with murder, as in Simabada, where he documents complicity with so much calm that the film feels like an HR manual composed by conscience. He believed that if a camera told the truth consistently, the truth would do some of the reforming work for you. He was not naive about institutions. He was hopeful about people. Design was never far away. He drew his own credit sequences, his own posters, his own title cards, with lines that are confident without swagger. He writes about film with the same economy he uses in scenes. Essays in our films, they're films that speak plainly about influence, craft economies, shameful sloppiness, unnecessary show. He reads widely and his films read you back. Watch Charulta and feel the paragraphing of scenes. Watch Mahanagar and feel the baseline rising under a woman's competence. Watch Nayak and feel the metaphors he allows a dream sequence while holding your hand back from overreading. He changed how we see the world by teaching us not to hurry the world. He made Monsoon a cinematographer and the afternoon a dramaturge. He taught us that children run faster in fields if the director does not shout, action. That a train is an event in a life even when it brings no letter, that marriages can be arranged and still be love tragedies or comedies depending on how the tea was poured. He trusted the audience with seconds and seconds turned into ethics. The craft he leaves behind is not only for filmmakers. If you run an office, a hospital, a classroom, give yourself a Ray shot once a day, hold the room without speaking, listen to the fan, the page, the footstep, the untidy laugh, and then decide what you owe. He received medals. He received a visit from a statue and a plaque. He grinned like a tall boy who had just been caught doing something he loved. Those honors testify to the world's need to thank someone who made it gentler. The real honor is elsewhere, in rooms where a family watches Pather Panchali together and a big person decides to be kinder to a small person. In a class where Mahanagar persuades someone not to be jealous of a wife's success. In a city where Simabada makes a manager blush when he chooses convenience over fairness. The world is changed not when a film is praised, but when a day is lived differently because the film was honest. Thank you for listening to this episode of Filmmaking Giants Who Changed How We See the World.